I love Christmas time because I just love these songs that are filled with the gospel, and they were written originally to share the wonderful message that we celebrate at Christmas time. Let's stand together, and I'd like to start with one of our favorites. There's a Song in the Air.
Close by me forever.
children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Thank you, Lord. And isn't that what the Lord is doing? Fitting us for heaven.
Amen.
And that is our hope and our expectation. Fitting us for heaven, making us more like Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God forever. The world was made before you spoke it to be. You were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out. We join them as we sing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Creator God, you gave me breath so I could praise. All in matchless name, all my days. So let my whole life be a blazing offering. A life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God forever. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Take my life and let it be, take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. We give you glory today. We lift you high. Oh, we lift you high, the name above all names. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Yes, Lord. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I am the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh Lord God, we sing your goodness. Oh, you're a good God. Oh, you're good, Lord. Good God. Oh, you're good God. Father, we thank you that your goodness pursues us, Lord. Oh, Jesus, even if we look around and things don't seem good, your goodness, your faithfulness is always there. You've promised never to leave us or forsake us, Lord. Oh, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord, it's your breath in our lungs. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Oh, let's declare this morning, all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Are you, Lord? And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, and we pour out our praise to you only. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Oh, we pour out our praise to you, Lord. Oh, we bless your name. Oh, we bless your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, we pour out our praise. As we were singing that song, I felt the Lord just emblazon in my heart the line that says, you restore every heart that is broken. God is able to restore a broken heart for whatever reason. That was one of the purposes that Jesus came, to heal the brokenhearted. If your heart has been broken, if you've had trouble with that heartache, lift it up to God this morning. He's able to heal every broken heart and to give grace and relief. The God who loves you, great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Oh, the restorer of our souls. Thank you that you restore our soul, that you give us strength, that you give us the breath, Lord. Oh, we give you glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. We're in a time and a season where we talk about great joy, but there's also great heartache with many as well. And it doesn't escape me this morning as we were singing. I continue to hear that in my heart. God cares about every broken area in our life. He cares about every single broken area. And it says that his goal is to bring us to maturity in Christ and to conform us into his image. And that means he's very interested in the places in us that are broken and need healing. So this morning, I just want to encourage you as we pray, allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to you about and it doesn't, well, let's just say we all have broken areas, because we live in a broken world. We live in a world that's marred by sin, and we haven't had the perfect life that we wish we had. But our Father cares about that and wants to help us. Today, as we pray, continue to pray for our sister Kate. We're super excited that she's here today, and we're seeing some of the answer to our prayers for our sister. She has a new knee, and but we want to continue to pray that God will do a restorative work in there. We want to lift up our sister Judy, still suffering with a lot of problems with her hand. God deliver her from that. So. But we serve a God that is interested not just in our broken lives, but our broken bodies as well. And he wants to help with that. Father, today we lift up our sisters to you. And Lord, we thank you for restoring them to our body. We thank you for Kate, for that successful surgery. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, that everything went so well. And Father, we know why, because you are faithful, and you answer prayer. We pray, Father, that you would continue to bless her and restore her knee. Touch Judy, Lord. Continue to restore her hand. I pray that nerve in her hand would quiet down, and that you would give her relief from pain, Father.
Oh, God, we pray that in this season, Christmas time, where people are more open to the gospel, that people's hearts would be open to hear about your Son. And Father, I pray that you would minister, Father, to every broken area that people struggle with, Lord. You're able to do it. And we give you thanks and praise. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I left all my stuff over here. Just a couple things I want to mention to you. I was very excited. We started a new program. It's called a New Movers Program. And everybody that moves into our area gets one of these cards. It's this nice big card that welcomes them to the Wellsville Full Gospel Church. And it has all of our church information, and it's just a very nice professionally made card. And we sent out our first batch just about a couple weeks ago. I say we, it's a company that we're working with. And we backed up a few months to kind of catch up on people who may have moved into the area, but 189 invitations. So would you pray as people receive these, that God would use this and reach people with the gospel? I feel like I am super loud. I feel like I'm on the verge of feeding back. Maybe not. Maybe it's just me. All right. Well, I hope you have had a good week and not too crazy. Hopefully not too crazy. Oh, there we go. Wow, now we're really loud. Stop. Okay, so Adam, you can bring up that slide if you would. We're going to continue in our series, Behold, a Savior is Born. Last week, we spent quite a bit of time talking about how Jesus came and the servanthood of Jesus and how he was willing to abdicate and give up everything to come to earth and be born in the lowest of places with the purpose of dying on a cross in between two criminals. God being willing to give up everything to serve us, to wash his disciples' feet, and how he gives us that example that we should also serve each other and be willing to, and especially serve the people of the world around us that we want to reach for Christ. But his life and his death were marked by an amazing humility and life of service that gives us a guide for our lives. Did the recording get started? Do you know? Thank you. All right. I don't want to forget that again. Today I want to look at the concept of peace at Christmas time. I want to talk about peace. We sing the song, we sang it last week after our fellowship, Peace on Earth, Goodwill to Men. And I frankly have a little problem with that. I do. It sounds terrible. But Pastor Dave, how could you have a problem with peace? I don't have a problem with peace. I have a problem with the whole message of peace on earth. I find that, Luke 2, verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Most versions say terrified, and you'd be terrified too if a glowing angel appeared in front of you at nighttime. Well, I freaked out is more like it. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a feed bin, a manger, a feed bin. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. this is the message that the angels brought. I can't imagine being one of the shepherds and seeing that. Yeah, terror. It'd be a moment of terror for me, I think. But and then the angels appear, and the thing that they sing is, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." If you drive out toward Andover, if you go to Andover, some friends of mine that are Christians, you remember the Burns family had a body shop there. They have a big sign. I don't know if it's out there this year. I haven't looked or not. It says peace, it's a gigantic thing, peace on earth. And every time I look at that, I think, where is there peace on earth? Why doesn't it say something about Jesus loves you or something? Why peace on earth? You know, if you look at the world, there's not a lot of peace on earth. There just isn't. I mean, right now we've got war in the Middle East that we hear about all the time. There's wars going on in Africa that you never hear about because they're not popular in the news, but there's warring factions that are going on all the time, and people are just being brutally and mercilessly murdered there. We've got government corruption, we've got abortion, we've got violence, murder, sex trafficking. The list just goes on and on and on. So peace on earth, I don't see it. But that's what the angel said. So there's some truth to that somehow, that there is peace on earth, but there isn't peace on earth. But there is peace on earth. But there, well, you know, there's the conundrum. And I'm going to be very transparent with you today. I have not really been at peace lately. I have not. I mean, I stand up and I'll talk to you about having joy at Christmas and the prophecies of Jesus coming, how wonderful. This season has been a real struggle with me, and I'm not going to go through everything. But you know, people, there's an idea that there's this sense, if you're a pastor, there's an expectation of perfection. there is, you know, like they're supposed to be like sort of above, and the pastor always walks around with a smile on his face, and he's happy and giving out blessings all the time, because wherever he goes, he can always hear the angels singing. Well, yeah. This season, honestly, we come home one day, I'm driving to work. I got as far as Sio, and my wife calls me, and she says, I was going to go leave for work, and I pulled out, and there's this huge pool of oil under my car. Huge pool. And I'm like, all right, I'm coming back. So I turned around and drove back, and sure enough, the driveway is flooded with oil. So I was like, okay, can't drive this. Left it, jumped in the car. She drove me to work. She missed a key rehearsal that she needed for her concert coming up, and I got to school late, and we both got to school, and we're like, peace on earth. Then we found out it wasn't even our car. We got it down to the shop. We got a rental car, drove it for a couple of days, and the shop said, your car's not leaking any oil. I think it must have been a neighbor's car that dumped oil, and we didn't. I don't know. Anyway, and then somebody got into my PayPal account out in California and started buying gift cards, $4,000 worth of gift cards. You know, we were talking about scammers the other night. $4,000 worth of gift cards at Target, and I'm on the phone with Discover saying, "Help me, please." It finally got straightened out, but you know, you have to cancel your card, and you have to go in and do the inquiry, and they try to get your charges reversed. I had a huge difficulty erupt in at school with another. Well, I can't get into it, but I get called in with the administration, and I had to sit before the tribunal, and it all came to nothing. But it was just an awful thing to go through. Thank God. Those are lots of people prayed for us. Thank you. Concert season. I staged probably almost 250 kids over a couple of nights. My wife got through her concerts. Kelly got through. Dave got through his concerts well. Made it through. But, you know, and then I'm trying to be a happy pastor here at church. And honestly, I just have not been peaceful. I don't sleep well. And I'm like, God, I'm supposed to come and talk about peace at church. Why are you doing this to me? I said, God, I have stuff. But, you know, you've got stuff. I got stuff. You got stuff. All of God's children got stuff. It's like we all got stuff. So what's the peace that we hear about? I don't know. Where is it? What is it? What is it talking about? There's a book by Beth Moore. I'm not endorsing or whatever. But there's a book called Breaking Free. There's an excerpt I wanted to read to you. It's just a brief sentence, but she writes, "What do you suppose would happen if we paid attention? If we paid attention, and this is not an indictment because I know we try, but what do you suppose would happen if we paid attention to God's commands? We don't have to wonder because He told us clearly in Isaiah 48:18. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like waves of the sea. Isaiah 66:12, it says, for this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her, meaning Israel, like a river and the wealth of nations like a flowing stream. Peace like a river. It's an interesting analogy. I'd like to talk about that for a minute. A river is a moving stream of water. It doesn't say you'll have peace like a pond or peace like a swamp or something. It says peace like a river. There's something about a river that it flows, and the reason that it flows is because it's fed by springs or by tributary streams. There's something that of the flow. And frankly, sometimes rivers don't even look very peaceful. Frankly, they don't. You can have whitewater rapids. My son, when we visited out in Utah last summer, he said, "Oh, we'll take the whole family." I have my other sons out there, and my wife and I, and their families. We were going to all float down the lazy river. Down, and he just thought it would be the greatest thing, and we all got our inner tubes. What we didn't know is that they had opened up the spillway or whatever, the dam, and they were dumping water into it, and our lazy river turned into a wild ride. Oh yeah, and we're flying down the river, and I'm hanging onto my tube for dear life. My wife whips into the rocks, and her tube pops. And I ended up having to, I switched tubes, but I said, give me yours. And I twisted it up and tried to hold the air on it, and I'm floating down. And we come to the rapids, and wham, oh, my bottom hit a rock. Oh, and then I'm like, oh, agony. So we go a little farther down. Wham, I hit another rock. Oh, twice. I still don't sit down right. I haven't quite got past that. But twists and turns, and there was a million other people out there. It was like the last rafting opportunity of the summer. It was wild. So when it says peace like a river, I don't necessarily think it means that either. But I think there's a couple things we can glean from that are really important. And if you're on a river, it can be a really exciting ride. You can have peace in it, regardless of the twists and turns and the rapids, even in the face of turmoil. And sometimes our life in Christ can feel like a wild ride down the river, and we bump into things and we hit things. But we can have peace even in the face of turmoil. To have peace like a river is to have security while meeting many bumps and unexpected turns in life. It just happens. Peace is submission to a trusted authority, regardless of your circumstances. And I want you to hear that again. Peace is when we submit to our trust to God, and we trust and rest in Him and His care and His comfort and His mercy in spite of what we see around us, in spite of what we're going through, in spite of the fact that somebody tries to take $4,000 out of your account for gift cards. You know, it's stupid stuff. Peace. So a river is a body of fresh water fed by those springs and tributaries, and they all have something flowing in. To have peace like a river means you need to. There needs to be a source. There has to be a source to that river, something that's flooding in. Just like a river is continuously renewed with moving water of springs and streams. And our peace comes from an active, ongoing, obedient relationship with Jesus Christ. That is where our peace is going to be settled from. Nothing else. Psalm 87:7. The psalmist David says, "All my springs are in you." Springs. That's that water that bubbles up from the ground underneath and comes out and feeds that river. It's a source. That was a source of life for them, especially if you lived in the desert places where they depended on that. All my springs, all the life that bubbles up out of me is in you. That's where it comes from. Our peace is dependent on our source or our spring, Jesus Christ. Our inflow of life is activated when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You remember the time when you invited Christ to come into your life. I remember when it happened, and I remember I was a very unhappy person. But you don't have to be an unhappy person to accept Christ. But I remember when I prayed and I said, "Lord, this is it. I'm giving you my life." Peace descended on me. Nothing had changed in my life. Nothing was different. Nothing. My circumstance hadn't changed, but peace came on me because all of a sudden now I have a source. I'm connected to something. It's kind of like the vine and the branches abiding in Christ. John 15:4. If you jump in your time machine and go back about a year and a half, we spent a lot of time talking out of John 15 about abiding or remaining. Jesus says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches." He is the spring. We get to enjoy the river, the flow of the river. "The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Why is it that we can do nothing apart from him? Why can't we bear fruit? You cut the branch off, it's not connected to anything anymore. It's only going to bear fruit. Its fruit is only going to be as good as its connection. Do you want to be fruitful? You need a really good connection. A connection that you are proactively seeking him. That's why God says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. It's a reciprocal relationship. So what does that look like? All of life flows from that relationship. What does it look like? First of all, number one, you need to have a source. You need to feed on the Word of God. Feed on the Word of God. You can't have God's peace unless you know his promises. You can't. If you don't know them, and if you're not continually reminding yourself of them, because when you get into a problem where you need to draw on his promises, your brain tends to go out the window. Everything's wrong! Run in circles, scream and shout, you know. You need to have the promises of God sat on you. I meant to get out on the back bulletin board. I was going to pull out those reading plans again. Forgot to grab them. Feed on the Word of God. Read on it. Read it. Get into the Word. Now, I don't mean to sound negative here, but please don't just depend on a devotional. And I'm not against devotionals. Devotionals are wonderful, but you know how you open up a devotional and sometimes it has a little scripture at the top, a sentence, and then it has the date and a little scripture, and then it talks about it and they give a personal experience and then all done. Well, I would call that a low-calorie diet. That's a really low-calorie diet. Why would you want to have a low-cal diet on the Word of God? Get into the Bible and really read it. Don't be on a low-cal diet. Read it. Fill yourself with it. Get in. Read the whole chapter. Read two chapters. Maybe you'll be so excited you'll read three. But God can speak to you out of His Word because it says the Word of God is living and active. It's not just a book that we read with words. God makes those words come alive. Have you had the experience when you've read and God speaks to you right out of it? It might not happen every day, might even happen every week, but as you read it, God is going to speak to you and minister to you. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. Your words became my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of hosts. Eat it. Eat the Word. Take a Bible plan. Afterward, I'm going to run out and grab those again. And we're coming into a new year. It doesn't have to be a resolution. Make a plan that you're going to walk yourself at least all the way through the Bible next year. There are these great plans. You can read this and that. But if you do it, it's going to transform your life. You know what the Word of God does when you read it. Ephesians 5:25-26. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to sanctify her. That means to make her holy. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. Through the Word. When you read the Word, you get washed. It's going to change the way you think. It's going to realign your mind. It's going to help you to trust God in the worst situations and to present her to himself as a glorious church without stain or wrinkle or any such blemish. Wow! As you read the Word, look what it does to you. Oh, it'll transform your life. Transforming power of the Word of God. Dig in, saints. I know you hear me say this over and over and over. And you know what? As long as I'm the pastor here, you're going to hear it over and over and over. Go home and read your Bible. Read it. Eat it. I'm preaching to myself too. I have to remember to read it every day. It happens. Things happen. We get busy. Sometimes you miss a day. Now you're a horrible Christian. No, you just, the next day you pick up and get going again. Number two, abide in His presence. You want to have peace. It's not going to come from abiding in anything else. There's too many bad sources for your river in the world. There's too many awful sources. And if you may have a good source and then you let other little junky streams trickle into it too and muddy the water. I've been guilty of that. You know, stuff gets in. Well, we're not perfect. We make mistakes, but square up again and make sure your life and your relationship are really clean with the Lord. Abide in His presence. Take time to pray and worship Him. Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing. That word anxious in the original Greek means to be worried and tremble and have care and concern and worry and ulcers and all the awful stuff that goes with being anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what happens? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That means you don't have to understand how everything's going to work out to have peace. Most of the time we don't. I don't understand half of the things that go on around me, but I know that I can have peace in it. if I trust God. Or I can, you know, when in trouble, when in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. You know, you can do that. Which, you know, why do that? But abide in His presence. And you know, the important thing to understand is that God is not expecting perfection. He knows us. God's not expecting perfection. He's desiring consistency. Consistency is the key. If you just have a consistent walk, and so what if you screw up one day or 2 days, or you kick the dog, or you yell at your wife, or you run a red light, or, you know, yes, you know what, we're gonna make mistakes in this life. We're not gonna be perfect, but if you will have a consistent walk where you're seeking God, where you're in His Word consistently over time, it's gonna transform your life. God is looking for consistency rather than perfection. He'll take care of the perfection part. Let Him deal with that. You just be consistent. It's just like the athletes that train. When you begin, consistency is everything. You know, you have a burst of, oh, I'm going to exercise, and then you do it for a week or two, and it's like, oh, not any different. Well, yeah, you got to be consistent. You have to keep going. It's like being a musician, you know? You got to be consistent. My friend Dave, he gets it. He's a music teacher with my wife over in Bolivar, Richburg. Consistency. You know, I teach kids to play the piano, but if they don't practice, they come to their lesson, and I am doing the same thing with them every week. No. That is a half note. It's two beat, two, one, count to two. One, yeah, see, thank you. And then the next week, half note, two beats. But if they can, the ones who consistently work over time, they make incredible gains. They take off. They do better. And God's looking at that in us, consistency, not perfection. I like this. Scripture. This is one from that you most of you probably know it from Handel's Messiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, and I just lost my place in my notes. I know I'm in here somewhere. Oh yeah, there we are. Okay, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and this was prophesied about Him hundreds of years before He came. 100 years before Jesus ever came, Isaiah writes these words, unto us a child is born, and He's going to be the Prince, the Prince of Peace. Amazing. When we talk about the Prince of Peace, it's not the peace that the world gives. So let's talk about it. Number one, peace is a promise. We are promised peace. If you're not experiencing peace in your life, it's available. It's possible. It's possible through God. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. And there's the key. The world has an idea of peace, and God has an idea of peace, and they're not the same thing. They are not. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You know what's really cool about that term, do not be afraid? Do you know how many times that appears in the Scriptures? 365 times. Do not be afraid. There is a do not be afraid for every single day of your life. Every single day of the year. Do not be afraid. Peace. This peace that Jesus is the Prince of, I'm leaving it with you. I'm not going to give it to you as the world gives, but I am going to give it to you. Big difference between what the world calls peace and the peace that God offers. God's peace versus the culture's peace. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the torrents raged, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the torrents raged, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its collapse. So here we've got a picture of peace and destruction juxtaposed to each other. Our culture emphasizes the house. Our culture looks at the house. Having a strong, beautiful home with the best materials. What kind of house do people build? Well, they build their house around their 401k. If something happens to their 401k, I get a little upset if something happens to my 401k. They feel secure if they have their 401k, they have a good job, they have a nice car, if they have a happy family, they've got job security, maybe they live in a good neighborhood, or the lack of all those things, and then you have no peace. But it's all about the house. God emphasizes the foundation. What's underneath the house? What's the basis? What's the thing? The unchanging relationship with Him that is not dependent on what happens around us. And that's a storm that is something that no storm can defeat. No storm can beat that solid foundation. Remember in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, at that time His voice shook the earth, speaking of God's voice in the Old Testament, but now He has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth but heaven as well. That's a quote from the book of the prophet Haggai from the Old Testament chapter 2. The words once more signify the removal of what can be shaken, that is created things, so that the unshakable may remain. Do you know God is shaking the earth right now? God is shaking every financial institution. He's shaking every place where men can find their security and their peace. And the only people in the last days that are going to have peace are the ones that are founded on the rock of Jesus Christ that cannot move. That rock that cannot move. Everything else is going to topple. All of it. So, how do we live in peace? How do we walk it out? And how do we, with others and with ourselves? Well, we're back to Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Understand your source of peace. Understand where the peace comes from. You got to have a source to your river, and it's got to be a good one. Is your peace based on how your day went, how the traffic was, how the weather was, how many scammers tried to buy gift cards from your account? You know, what's your peace based on? Where's your source? Where are you looking for your peace? In all the junk around you, or are you proactively chasing after God in that? It's a peace that doesn't make sense to our natural mind, but it's going to guard our heart and our mind. Those are our two most vulnerable places. Your heart and your mind. That's where it's going to protect it. It has nothing to do with possessions. It has everything to do with the one whom we belong, who is our possession. We are His possession. I couldn't get that out right. It has nothing to do with our possessions. It has everything to do with who possesses us. Who owns you? Who is it? That's where it is. Wow. It possesses us. Here's my favorite little quote. Know Jesus, no peace. You know Jesus, no peace. You're going to have it. Father, we thank You today that You are the God that wants us to have peace. You don't want our hearts to be troubled. And yet we live in this world that's difficult and sin-ridden, and full of conflict. Father, working in the schools, I see kids with drugs and with alcohol. Father, kids that get involved in all kinds of bad lifestyle, difficulties in families. Father, there's just so much. And no peace in homes. And people suffer when there's no peace. But Father, it's your desire for us to have peace. Have peace first with you. And Lord, when we get lined up and our hearts are right, and you deliver us from that awful guilt of our sin, Lord, even though we're not perfect, God, then we have peace with you, and then it's so much easier to have peace with others. Help us, Father. Help us with our source today. I pray that you would help us to be proactive, to know that and to prioritize our time in your word, that Father, we would march our way through those scriptures, Lord, and give you a chance to speak to us through your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to find the place where we draw aside and we spend time in prayer and we can seek you and we can worship you and allow that peace that we hear about. Lord, it's really not peace on earth, but it's peace that has come to earth, to our peaceless, sin-riddled earth, that peace came in the name of Jesus, that came at Christmas and then gave his life at Easter. Father, we thank you that there can be peace on earth. It may not be of the earth, but we can have that peace as we keep our relationship right and clean with you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your grace. Help us to be people who bring peace with us where we go. Help us to share peace with others. Lord, words of encouragement, the word of God, the willingness to pray for people, the willingness to minister your grace and help and to serve others. Help us, Father. Especially at this time, Lord, help us to walk that out, I pray. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know what I'm talking about when I say having peace with Christ, we're going to have a time of prayer up front. And if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, I welcome you to come forward and we would love to pray with you today. If you have a physical need in your body, God heals broken bodies, or any other needs, someone will be here to pray with you today. Otherwise, God bless you. Go and experience the peace of Christ. And I wish I had grabbed those Bible reading plans, but they are in a folder on the bulletin board right outside these doors. And if you don't have one, grab one. And get into your scriptures and see what it does to your life. Amen. God bless you. Thanks.